Beloved congregation, the text for this evening is a familiar text, 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. These words, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Beloved congregation, it's a custom in our churches and other churches to focus on a remembrance of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ on about four Lord's days before what we then call Christmas, but simply to turn to various passages in the Bible that speak of the coming of Christ, his first coming as well as his second coming. And this evening we will focus particularly on the great significance of his first coming into the world by way of this text. Now, just for a little bit of background, think of the Apostle Paul writing these words through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but the Apostle Paul writing these words some 65 years after Christ was born. Think of that. Others who were born in the same year that the Lord Jesus was born were turning 65 that year. And so much had happened in these 65 years. But the greatest happening really was what Paul writes about here, that Christ came into the world. And Paul talks about this as a faithful saying. This is the first of five so-called faithful sayings that occur in Paul's pastoral epistles. The four other faithful sayings are in chapter 3, verse 1, 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, verse 9, and then Titus, chapter 3, verse 8, and then 2 Timothy 2, likely Paul's last epistle, 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. And there the Apostle Paul, as in our text, as well as in the other four references of so-called sayings, faithful sayings, he is speaking about sayings that were familiar to the Christians, to the church of Paul's days. Paul is not giving them new revelations. The Lord revealed this to me, and here is 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Now, this is a faithful saying. Some even think that it's one of the sayings that were not recorded in the Gospels, but were sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they make reference to, for example, Luke 19, verse 10. At any rate, Paul is reminding them of something not that they didn't know yet, because he and the other Christians regularly spoke about these things among themselves, and as they went about their lives, they tried to pass those sayings on to others. Or when they would meet, they would remind one another of those sayings. The one that we will focus on this evening with the help of the Lord is the one that deals with Christ coming into the world. It's a familiar verse, but it's a grand statement. It has all sorts of beautiful aspects to it. You could say that our text has a number of dimensions, and we wish to look at each of those in turn by way of the theme, Christ's purpose in coming to this world. That's the theme, Christ's purpose in coming to this world. And we'll consider the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth. the length, namely that Christ came into this world, the breadth for sinners, the height to save sinners, and then finally the depth of whom I am chief. The length. And I'll try to be very brief on most of these 4 points. The length, namely that Christ Jesus came into the world. Paul is writing about Christ Jesus, and notice that he says Christ Jesus. His official title, Christ, as we saw this morning. And secondly, he says Jesus. Remember, that's the Lord's personal name, which means Savior. Refers to him as person, as the man, the God-man of Nazareth, as the man who lived here on this earth for 33 years among his people in the land of promise, land of Israel. Well, it's this Christ Jesus who came into the world, Paul writes. And with these words, the Apostle Paul writes about what happened when the Lord Jesus was born, or conceived and born. It was his coming into the world. He existed before the world began. He was pre-existent with the Father and the Spirit. He, the eternal Son of God the Father, co-essential with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Remember John beginning his Gospel chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Christ Jesus, the pre-existing Son of God, came into the world. When? In the fullness of time. That's how Paul puts it in Galatians 4, verse 4. In the fullness of time. He assumed flesh and blood from the Virgin Mary through the operation of the Holy Spirit. He remained God. He became man. He came into the world. That's the length of our text, you might say. All the way from heaven to this world. Which world? The world we are living in. Concerning which the Bible says, it lies where? In wickedness. A world inhabited by sinners. A world under the dominion of the prince of darkness. Inundated with evil and wickedness. A world hostile to God and to his Christ. A world filled also with pain and grief and sorrow. And right in that world and among the inhabitants in this world, Christ sought a place for himself in Israel, where sin ruled, and where sin still rules, does it not, in a large measure, where Satan displays his frightening powers. That's where Christ Jesus came and he dwelt. Beloved congregation, will you remember this as we go through 4 weeks of Advent? My wife and I were walking Ball Avenue somewhere yesterday morning early, and we heard through a little chime the carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. Joyful. And it was early in the morning. Still kind of dark. Now as we go into this season, let's remember. Not the season to be jolly, but let's remember that Christ came at such a length. That wasn't a small step for Christ. He took to himself our human nature. We who had fallen from God. We who had rebelled against him. Christ came all the way from the bosom of the Father to this world. Our world, you could say. What a humbling truth this is. Oh, it should make us bow lowly. Well, this is the length of our text. Secondly, the breadth. For what purpose did Christ come into this world? Was it to give us an example of how to be humble and how to deny ourselves so that we could learn to follow that example of the Lord Jesus and become better men and somehow create a better world? No, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the faithful saying says. The faithful saying says Christ Jesus came into the world to do something for sinners, to save sinners. Now, the word order in the original Greek is a little different than we have in our English version. It actually says Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners, to save. You see, the emphasis is on the word sinners. It brings out what sort of persons Jesus came to save. He came to save sinners. Well, a sinner, what is a sinner? Sinners. Sinners are men, women, young people, and children who have missed the mark, who have failed to live up to the standards of God, his law, his rule to obey. Sinners have said we won't do it. And that disobedience has made man to be a sinner. God had created him to obey God, to serve God. But man failed to do so. And man no longer displays any willingness to obey God and serve God. Man has broken that relationship to God. And in that way, he became a sinner. And we need to understand that being a sinner, sinners in the plural in our text, that's failing in that relationship to God. Now, we also have a broken relationship by our sin with our neighbor. And we sin against our neighbors. For example, when you steal from your neighbor, or when you murder your neighbor, or other such things, that's all evidence of us being sinners. But being sinner is first instance constituted by having a broken relationship to God, our Creator. There's a breach in that relationship between our Creator and us men. That constitutes us as sinners. Sinners are persons who have offended God, who have turned their back on God, who have displayed disobedience to God, their Creator. Sinners. They fail to give God the central place in their life. Sinners, they don't love God with the heart and the soul and the mind and the strength. And that's what God requires of man. And that's evidence that man is a sinner and has failed the mark for which God had created him. Now, what did Christ Jesus come to do? To save sinners who had missed the mark, who had failed to live up to the standards of God, who had failed to give God that central place in heart and life. Sinners who have not loved God, not obeyed God, not served God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What is very remarkable, congregation, is that the Apostle Paul leaves it unqualified to save sinners. He could have written something else, you might think. He could have said Christ Jesus came into the world to save respectable sinners. Imagine he had done that. What hope would there have been for any disrespectable sinner? He could have said something like, Christ Jesus came into the world to save those sinners that have committed only a few sins. Now, what hope would that give to those sinners who have committed many sins? But Paul doesn't write that. Paul says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not making any qualification. He came to save those who think they are quite respectable sinners, but also the disrespectable sinners. They are the object of Christ's coming to save them. Sinners from Jews and Gentiles, proud sinners and the seemingly humble sinners, even sinners who are the vilest sinners, even prostitutes, publicans, murderers, can be saved by Christ Jesus. Now that's the breath of our text. And do you see that breath, congregation? Sinners without any qualification, not excluding any. So the apostle, by doing it this way, has a very broad category. It comprises every sinner of whatever skin color, of whatever age, of whatever crime. Sinners. You see the breadth of our text, of Christ's coming? Sinners. People with guilt, with the pollution, the depravity of sin. People under the curse of God. People who have nothing good dwelling inside of them. People who are lost because of their sin. People who have nothing whereby they can please God. People with a hard heart, with a stiff-necked heart. Sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Question, are you in this category? Are you a sinner? You are. We all are in this category of sinners. Maybe a difference between whether you recognize yourself as a sinner or no, whether you admit it with your lips maybe not even with the heart. But it implies that all sinners can come under the category of those for whom Christ came to save sinners. This text excludes no sinner. Do you admit that you are a sinner? And do you admit it with pain in your soul? Or do you say, well, I know it's true, I'm a sinner too, saying it kind of coldly? Do you and I say it tonight with sorrow in our heart? And do we say it tonight with shame in our heart? Well, this is the breath of the purpose of Christ coming to this world, congregation, to save sinners. The length, the breath, thirdly, the height. Christ Jesus came, that's that faithful saying, into the world, sinners to save. To save. Imagine the Apostle Paul had written, Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners to condemn. Imagine that when Christ came in the fullness of time, congregation, imagine that he had come as judge, to judge the living and the dead. And all those men from the Old Testament, from every tribe and nation, would have stood before him as the judge of heaven and earth. And then he could only have condemned them. And his condemnation would have been just, perfectly just. There would have been no hope for anybody. Because then all sinners would have been condemned and sent into outer darkness that Reverend Lewis preached on just the other day. But thanks be to God, this is not what this faithful saying says. It's not what God has revealed. It's not what Christ said when he was on this earth. The Bible does say that Christ will come again. That's a second coming. And then he will judge. Then he will judge. But when he came the first time in the fullness of time, he came to save sinners. Not to condemn, not to judge and condemn. And that makes it possible that as a result of his first coming, when he comes a second time, sinners can appear before him without terror, before the judgment seat of Christ. That is, those sinners who have found peace through his work, who found cleansing in his blood that he shed for their sins. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It doesn't say to help sinners save themselves. That's a distorted gospel, which is proclaimed very much in our days. That Christ is said to teach people to help themselves. What Christ does, they preach, is he puts you back on your feet and he says, this is what you must do. And if you do it, I'm giving you a set of rules now. If you do it obediently and faithfully, you'll be on your way to heaven. And you'll arrive there by your own obedience. But that's not what this faithful saying says. It says Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Christ alone. We even read in the New Testament that Christ saves to the uttermost. To that height. Not 9/10 of the way, but all the way. Think of what that is, that he came to save sinners. What did he do? He obtained salvation for them. Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8, where you read that Christ, Jesus, when he came, he made himself of no reputation, and he became obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. How did he obtain salvation? By suffering for sinners. Dying for sinners. He obtained salvation by pain and by entering into death. And he obtained salvation by bearing that pain. By having his body be broken for a full atonement. The costliest price that we could ever think of, congregation. That's how he accomplished redemption. Sinners to save. He obtained salvation. And he came to apply salvation. Because the work of salvation, part of that is the application of the accomplishment of it. And he does that too. Christ does that through his word and spirit. The salvation that Christ has obtained must be brought to the heart of a sinner. First of all, to the ear of a sinner, you might say, by the proclamation of the gospel of salvation. But then it must be brought to the heart of the sinner. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Salvation must be applied out of Christ. And for that he came, sinners, to save. And then think of one other thing. When you think of what that is, that he came to save them. To obtain salvation, to apply salvation. He came to save them from all sin. From the guilt of their sin unto righteousness. You see, as a result of our sin, there is the guilt. That's the consequence. And what does Christ do when he saves? He rescues the man, the woman, from his or her guilt. And when he rescues her or him from her guilt, and takes away that negative, that guilt, over against that negative, he puts the positive. Namely, he gives to that man pardon, forgiveness, righteousness. And he is no longer guilty in the sight of God, but has received the full pardon. He came to save sinners also from the bondage of sin. Because by sin we are in bondage. But Christ saves also from the bondage of sin. And when he rescues us from that bondage, he doesn't bring us into some neutral position. No, then positively, he brings us to the freedom that is in Jesus Christ. That's the salvation. That a sinner is brought from guilt to righteousness and from bondage to freedom in Christ. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Also from the punishment of sin. If you think of Ephesians 2, where the Apostle Paul at the beginning of that chapter says, by nature we were the children of wrath, even as others. But Christ came into this world to save sinners from the punishment of sin. So there you have three aspects. Much more could be said from he came to save from sin, to obtain salvation, apply salvation also to save from all sin. And you could also say he came to save us unto God forever. Unto God. Now just think of that congregation. Think of that, you who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ didn't save you just for the first 10,000 years to come, but forever and ever, body and soul, for time and for eternity. For eternity. Unto God. What a height the Savior saves to. It is so high that Satan cannot reach us there. And we cannot do anything to undo our salvation when once he has saved us. Don't you agree? What a glorious height. This Savior has come to save us. The length, the breadth, the height. Let's go down to the depth. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's the depth. And here Paul becomes very personal. Paul. Remember, his name used to be Saul. And Saul thought for years, I am a good person. I'm one of the very best. He had done so much, he thought. God must be so pleased with me, he thought. But when Christ stopped him on the road to Damascus, and the man came down from his high horse, there the Lord revealed himself to him and revealed him to his sin and wickedness. And the Lord from heaven made Saul close to Damascus, and in Damascus too, he made him feel and experience. Do you know what he made him feel and experience? What a sinner he was. And then Saul felt so lost. He was in darkness, literally, but also spiritually. And Saul knew he couldn't do anything to save himself from his sin. His works, the many works of his law, of the law of God, were inadequate. He could no longer counterbalance his evil deeds by his good deeds. He felt so lost, and he became so needy and so poor. And he began to understand what it was that he had sinned against God, broken his law, and sinned against the grace of God and the Christ of God. And the question became, how can the Savior save me? And do you remember that he was in that room there in Damascus, and that the Lord sent the disciple Ananias? And do you remember what Ananias said to Saul? I'll read it to you, but as I read it, try to think of our text, because what Ananias said to Saul, you could say, in essence, was the text of this evening. Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And then I leave out a verse, next verse, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he was the Son of God. You could say our text is the essence of what Ananias said. Or if you look for a moment at verse 12 in this chapter, then you hear Paul speaking so personally about this. Here he says, and I quote, And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, that means a violent man, but I obtained mercy. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul, how do you know that this is a faithful saying? And Paul could say, I know it. God told me, my Lord told me, Christ Jesus, by the lips, the mouth of Ananias. His word. Do you also know it in still another way, Paul? Yes, I do. The Lord didn't only say it by the lips of Ananias, but the Lord also said it to my heart. God spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me. Twice have I heard it. I've heard it with my ears. I've also heard it with my heart. This is a faithful saying. And nobody can tell me, Paul would say, nobody can tell me that this is not a faithful saying. It's faithful because God himself said it right in my heart. And because God said it to his heart, congregation, Paul can add this personal note in the inspired word of God. The Lord included it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And Paul can say, I can testify to the truth of this faithful saying. I'm such a one that was saved by Christ. I am one that have experienced the saving power of the Savior to save me. Christ Jesus came into the world. I was such a sinner. I know it very well. And I still experience, Paul says, the seed of my sinfulness in my heart. Because notice that Paul does not say, of whom I was chief, but of whom I am chief. And he writes this just before the Lord calls him, a little time before the Lord calls him out of this life. And how long will he have been a man who was in Christ? 40 years? 40 years? And after 40 years a Christian, there's such a gospel of whom I am chief. I know very well, Paul says, what it is to be a sinner. But I know that Christ Jesus came into this world to save me. My whole life was wickedness And even after grace, Paul would say, apart from the Lord, all my righteousnesses are still filthy rags. Of myself, I amount to nothing. I am the chief of sinners, but he's the chief. I can't say he's the chief of saviors, because he's the only savior, but he's the chief among 10,000s. In my life, also after grace, there have been things of sin. So fearful. I've tried at times to bring to a standstill the work that Christ was doing. But he came to save me so that the eternal purposes of God have not been destroyed. But I am the chief of sinners. But I obtained mercy. And since I obtained mercy, Paul says, everybody else can obtain mercy. Since I, the chief, may now partake of the salvation of Christ, of his atoning blood, now everyone else may come to partake of this salvation of Christ in his atoning blood. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Greek has the word, you could also translate, approval. Of all approval. It's an Old Testament, a kind of an old word for us. Puritans used it. But of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, congregation, Paul says, and I'll close with that. Paul says that this is worthy of all acceptation. Have you seen this night? The length, the breadth, the height, the depth. Maybe you sit here and you say, it sounds good for Paul, but it's too grand for me. No, you got it wrong. You've got it wrong. It's perfectly matched for you. It reaches so low, so deep. Is not this your problem? You are not willing to bow this law. Congregation, some of us are engineers. You look at dimensions every day at work. And maybe in your night, when you awake for a moment, you still have dimensions in your head. Have you ever seen anything with these grand dimensions? Such length and breadth and height and depth? And let me also address our students in high school, in college, in seminary. Have you ever been taught something as wonderful in dimensions as this? Young people, are you a sinner tonight? You know, the Lord does not have saints in a certain sense. He doesn't save church people who pride themselves in being church people. He saves sinners, even the chief of sinners. That's the gospel of Advent. Do you believe it? Not too long ago, someone said, I agree with the whole Bible. I love the writings of Paul. I think he was wrong at one point. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, where he says, of whom I am chief. Paul was wrong. I am the chief. Well, let's not argue. You bring that before the Lord. But if that's what you say, of whom I am chief, then you understand that for the chief of sinners, there is salvation in Christ. That God might show mercy to you and in you, and that you might know something of the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of the love of God for sinners in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, we marvel at coming so low to us where we are of ourselves. And that the gospel is so grand. Oh, we can have the doctrines sometimes so much with various dimensions. But to have it spelled out like this night, that thou, Lord Jesus, didst come to save sinners. And that thou didst not qualify it, sinners to save. Grant us as we are about to leave, to indeed close with thee. O, take us, pardon us, save us unto thyself. And that grand salvation in Jesus Christ, and thus to live a life in which we know the length in a measure, and the breadth, the height, and the depth of thy purpose, Lord Jesus Christ, to come to this earth. Let this year's Advent season to be one in this light, with this power, in Jesus' name. Amen.